This is Scott Becker, the publisher of Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by Loretta Cecil. Loretta has a huge professional position. She's the Executive Vice President, General Counsel of Change Healthcare. We're going to talk to Loretta for several minutes about advice for professional women and for leaders in general, setbacks, motivation, challenges, and more. Loretta, can I ask you to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott. How would I describe my position? It's sort of the chief legal officer, the chief compliance officer, and chief bottle washer at Change Healthcare. And to tell you a little bit about Change Healthcare, we are a healthcare IT infrastructure company. So we are behind the curtain, as you'll say, doing infrastructure work. We have about 5,500 hospital customers, 800,000 doctors, 2,100 health insurers, 600 labs, and 117,000 dentists. So we touch healthcare in a big way. But again, as I would describe it, sort of behind the curtain and supporting the infrastructure.
So let me ask you, you're at a huge company. You're the chief legal officer, general counsel, I understand. How did you get there? How did you get to that spot?
Great question, and I frequently ask myself that as I pinch myself in this current position. I would say that it was a long journey, which started out in the early 1980s when I graduated from law school. I was in-house at AT&T for 17 years, beginning my career, then moved to another couple of companies, to a law firm, and frankly, just built the career step by step, brick by brick, is the way that I describe it. So it was a long journey.
How was your time? It's so interesting. People coming out of law school, spending 17 years directly at AT&T, that's almost unusual today, isn't that? That's sort of you don't hear a lot about that today. What was that like, building an entire legal career in house?
I absolutely loved it. At the time that I joined AT&T, it was the height of the rearrangement of the Bell system, the divestiture, the breaking up of the Bell system, a lot of government regulation, and we had a very, very large law department. I think at the time I first joined, there were probably 1,500 lawyers, 300 of which worked on antitrust cases all over the world. And I got to see from the ground up how you, in essence, handle complex legal work in a lot of different areas and also work on a team. And that's what I probably enjoyed the most was the team environment with so many great colleagues that were at the top of their game. So that's why I stayed there 17 years. It was just a terrific experience.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really, at that point, 1,500 lawyers made it, even though it was in-house, probably one of the largest several law firms in the whole world, even though it was an in-house department. Fascinating experience.
Yes. At the time, I think we touted ourselves as being the largest in-house corporate law department in the world. And it was never a dull moment there, let's put it that way, in terms of the challenges and the issues that the company was facing.
Right. And for people that are of the younger generation, not of my generation, they might not even know that AT&T at one point was the conglomerate of all the sort of national Bell companies, and then it broke into, through the antitrust case, into several different smaller companies. I'm probably not explaining that as well as you would, but let me do this, not to wander too much around those questions. Loretta, your best advice for professional women building careers? Some thoughts on that.
Well, I've already mentioned it in a couple of the comments I made earlier, and that's really to build your career brick by brick. And, you know, there's that old adage that Rome wasn't built in a day. That's certainly true. Rome was not built in a day. But what I always come back to is that, but there were bricks being laid every day in Rome. And I, as I look back on my career, you know, clearly see that I was given many different challenges. I was asked to handle things I had no ability to handle at the time. I had to, in essence, build the skills, and then I would get rotated through, you know, one position versus another position and build that skill set. So when you sort of look back over it, it's like hard lifting at the time, but it was really sort of brick by brick, day by day. And then at the end of it, you look back and you say, wow, what a foundation I created.
Is there a thought on determining career paths? I mean, you talk about building a career brick by brick.
Yeah.
How does someone coming into the career determine which bricks to lay next, or how to develop that path? How did you sort of go about that? Or what thoughts you have for people on that?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I decided, and it was a very tough decision, but I did decide that I was going to be mobile. And so as a result of that decision, my name was always bandied about when there were opportunities, whether it was an international opportunity or whether it was moving from one state or from one location to another. So I do think it's very important for you to put a stake in the ground fairly early in your career, whether or not you're going to be mobile or not. And if you're going to be mobile, then that probably expands to some extent the different opportunities that will be presented to you. If you decide that you're not going to be mobile, then I think it's very important to understand what are the different opportunities within your fixed community, whether it's in the same city or the same location. And I think you have to be willing, you know, every once in a while to basically put your hand up and say, you know, put me in, coach. I'm willing to do anything, even though it may be a lateral move within this office. I want to learn different things and keep building, you know, sort of, as I call it, brick by brick, as you take on new responsibilities and new opportunities.
Fascinating. Let me ask you another question. Any setbacks you faced professionally, and how did you recover from those, and what did you learn from those?
Yes. So I would say that I have had two major setbacks in my career, and one of them happened very early on, and the other one happened sort of mid-career. So I mentioned earlier that I had joined AT&T pretty much right out of law school and was there for 17 years, but I joined them from a very small little law firm where I was actually a partner, believe it or not, a couple years out of law school. So I left this partnership and I joined AT&T, and within 6 months, AT&T went through a downsizing. And since I was the last one in, I was the first one that was put on the downsizing list. And so I was told that I could interview for other positions at the company, but if I didn't get something, then my position would be eliminated. And I remember that afternoon going home and telling my husband, and basically in tears. I was so new and so green and had just left this partnership. And that turned out to be a tremendous experience for me, in that I found another job. It was actually across the country in Denver. And then from Denver, I made different moves. And so had it not been for that first downsizing, I'm not sure that I would have been as mobile as I have been in my career. So that was the first one. Second one was mid-career. This was, I believe, in 2000, so about 19 years ago. I was a mid-level executive, and again, still at AT&T. The company was being downsized once more, and so I ended up on another downsizing list, which led me to leave the company eventually and then, you know, go with a law firm, and now obviously have had many other successful moves after that.
That's fantastic. So fascinating. So the early sort of downsizing led you with more flexibility and the resilience to sort of, you could lose your job and be okay.
Exactly.
And so that was really impactful, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of resilience prepares you for a whole career, because you know things are never going to go always in the same exact direction in a linear positive fashion. So I love that. Loretta, let me ask you another question. You've been at this now for some time. You've been in great positions. You're in a magnificent position today, one of the most prestigious positions in the world in terms of a lawyer. How do you keep yourself motivated day in, day out, year in, year out?
Well, I think with the resilience that you've mentioned, that's a big part of it. I try to put everything in perspective. There's a saying that I have that I think many other people use from time to time, and it's that this shall pass too, or this too shall pass. And I really put that in perspective. I've seen a lot in my career. I've worked on a lot of challenging situations. And so I take comfort in the fact that I've seen a lot. I've done a lot. I know how to, in essence, manage through tough situations, where they are, whether professionally or personally. And so I get a lot of power from that. I also take a lot of homage in that positive attitudes can basically cure a lot of sins. And so I surround myself with positive people. I look for positive people whenever I interview and we build the team. And I really try to make sure that everybody understands something that was said to me as a very young lawyer, probably a couple of months out of law school. One of the partners with whom I was working handed me a card, and it said on the front of it, "Be kind." And it had a dove, and on the back of it, it said, "For everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." And so I try to stay upbeat just by virtue of my resilience, but then I also try to treat people with respect and make sure that we all appreciate everybody's fighting a hard battle at some point during the day.
Well, thank you. I think a long time ago, somebody said to me, another lawyer by chance said to me, his observation was, no one goes through this world unscathed. And so you might not see their problems, but everybody's got something that's a problem. And so I love that advice, and it resonates with me from what somebody else had said to me, which is this: be kind. You don't know what the issue is they're facing, basically.
Exactly.
I love that. Next question, and two more questions I'm going to ask you. The biggest challenge that you face currently, and then if this year goes well, what does this year look like for you? Starting with the biggest challenge you face currently.
Okay. Well, we talked a little bit about Change Healthcare when we started the podcast, and we're really a new company. I know it's kind of hard to believe with the number of customers that we have, but we're a joint venture company that was created early in 2017. Our primary shareholders are McKesson Corporation and the Blackstone Companies, and so we have combined assets from those two different companies. And so I'm in the process now of creating a new legal department, a new compliance department. And with that comes all sorts of challenges relative to not only, you know, how do you get your bills paid with your various vendors like outside counsel, to how do you recruit, how do you motivate, and then, you know, how do you get transactions handled. So we're really in this almost like a startup, as I would say. And so that's the biggest challenge I have is really creating and building the team in order for it to be sustainable.
Do you have thoughts on a couple things? How big that team will be, and how do you divide what stays in-house versus what you'll use outside firms for? How do you think about those kinds of issues? Just because some of our audience is lawyers, and I'm just curious to see how you look at size of department and general thoughts on what stays in, what you send out.
Okay, so when we had the organization built out, it'll be about 150 legal professionals, and we've disclosed publicly that we're a little over a $3 billion company. So about 150 legal professionals to that size of a company. And about, I'd say, 70% of the 150 have legal degrees, many with a very experienced tenure, others that are right out of law school. So we hire at both extremes of the experience category. And what we do is we're an IT company, and so IT companies frequently run on metrics and analytics, and so we do the same thing with the legal and compliance function. So we'll look to see what's sort of the volume of transactions. And if the volumes of transactions get to a certain level, then it makes sense to bring the work in-house. If it's a onesie-twosie or a unique situation, we obviously would use outside counsel to support us in that situation. But it's all really looking at the numbers, and it's all metrics-driven as to what we do in-house versus what we use for outside counsel.
Fascinating. So $3 billion company, 150 legal staff at some point, and a lot of analytics in terms of deciding what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and so forth. Just fascinating. What an interesting position to be in also in this joint venture between Blackstone and McKesson, develop change, because change is going to be so big so quickly, and now I have sort of a better sense of it. So thank you. And so, Loretta, if this year goes well, what will success look like this year for you if it goes well?
Success will be building the infrastructure and the processes to have a really sustainable company that can continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And by infrastructure, what I mean there, Scott, is really paying attention to all of the processes that go into supporting a company of this size, whether it's how do you do your sales contracting, what sales terms do you provide, down to how do you handle litigation, how do you handle investigations, how do you recruit, how do you basically build the culture within the organization. So success for us and for me will be finally in sort of year three of this company getting the infrastructure in place so that we can then support the business as it begins to grow. But right now, we're laying that brick by brick by brick. We're I don't want to say we're close to having Rome built, but we're certainly working on it. And I'd like to be able to see some of the landscape of Rome, you know, certainly at the end of this year.
That's great. So you're really putting together the infrastructure to serve the entire company and making mm-hmm. great progress. And it sounds like you do so with a pretty steady, thoughtful hand. So it's very impressive. I'll tell you, Loretta, it's a pleasure to visit with you today. What a fascinating, wonderful career. And just a pleasure to talk to you. And what a big role you have now. So congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to speak with you today.